Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. You ready to travel back in time with me today? We're going all the way back to ancient India to explore a region that's as fascinating as it is geographically unique. The Deccan Plateau. Think huge, elevated landscapes shaped by incredible volcanic activity and home to powerful empires, majestic temples, and impressive fortifications. It's like something out of an Indiana Jones movie.
Oh, absolutely. And what's even more amazing is how this landscape, a land literally forged in fire, became the cradle of some of India's most influential civilizations.
That's right. We've got a lot of ground to cover today, so we've pulled together insights from history, geography, and even a touch of architecture to unlock the secrets of this incredible region.
I think we're in for a real treat.
I agree. So the big question we're tackling today is this. How did the Deccan Plateau's unique geography shape not just the land itself, but the very course of civilizations?
Well, it all starts with a story of fire and fury, millions of years ago. Picture volcanic eruptions on a scale almost unimaginable. And we're not just talking about a few mountains spewing lava, but a series of events so powerful. They blanketed a region almost the size of modern-day Europe in molten rock.
Whoa, that's more than just your average volcanic eruption.
Oh, yeah. This was a geological event of epic proportions. We're talking about lava flows so massive, they created what we know today as the Deccan Traps.
The Deccan Traps. Okay, so is that what formed the Deccan Plateau as we know it?
Exactly. Those massive lava flows cooled and solidified over time, creating the plateau's distinctive step-like structure. It's like layers upon layers of volcanic rock forming the very foundation of a landscape that will become the heartland of powerful empires.
Okay, so we've got a land literally forged in fire. But volcanoes aren't exactly known for creating fertile ground. How did this fiery beginning set the stage for the rise of civilizations?
Right. That's where things get really interesting. You see, those volcanic eruptions didn't just leave behind rock. They also gifted the Deccan Plateau with a very special type of soil, Rigur soil, also known as black cotton soil.
Rigur soil. Okay, that rings a bell. Isn't that the stuff that's incredibly fertile?
You got it. This soil was a game changer for the region. It's incredibly rich in nutrients and has this amazing ability to retain moisture, making it ideal for agriculture even in a region with a challenging climate.
So picture this ancient people arrive in this region, and instead of finding a barren volcanic wasteland, they discover fertile land ripe for cultivation. That must have been like hitting the jackpot.
Absolutely. This fertile land allowed for the cultivation of a wide range of crops, supporting growing populations and eventually leading to the development of complex societies and, of course, powerful empires.
And I'm guessing the Deccan Plateau's geography had a hand in shaping those empires, too.
Didn't it provide some natural advantages when it came to things like defense? It was like a natural fortress, imagine. A landscape of hills, rivers, and dense forests, all acting as barriers against invaders. This natural protection gave the Deccan Plateau's empires a strategic edge, allowing them to focus on development and expansion.
So it's not just about fertile land, it's also about strategic location. The Deccan Plateau was basically built for empires to thrive. We're talking about empires like the Chalukyas, Rashtrakutas, and the Vijayanagara, right? Didn't they all leverage these geographical advantages to become major powers?
They did. And each of them left their own unique mark on the Deccan Plateau, not just in terms of political power, but also in terms of art, architecture, and cultural innovations.
Okay, I'm already hooked. Before we dive into the specifics of those empires, let's talk about how this unique landscape influenced their architectural choices. Well, we're talking about some seriously impressive temples and fortifications, right? Did the geography play a role in how those structures were designed and built?
Oh, absolutely. The Deccan Plateau's geography is woven into the very fabric of its architecture. Take the Vijayanagara Empire, for example. They strategically placed their capital city amidst a landscape of rocky hills, using the natural terrain to create some of the most formidable fortifications in Indian history.
So they were basically incorporating the landscape into their defense strategy. Were there any specific architectural elements that stand out?
Oh, definitely. Think massive walls, strategically placed gateways, and ingenious use of slopes and cliffs to create natural barriers. Some of these walls were so thick they could accommodate entire market streets and residential areas within them.
Wow, a city within a wall. That's incredible. It sounds like they weren't just building for defense. They were creating entire urban centers integrated with the landscape. What about the temples? Did the geography influence their design as well?
Absolutely. The Deccan Plateau's temples are a testament to human creativity inspired by nature. You'll find towering gopurams, those elaborate gateways that seem to mimic the grandeur of the surrounding hills. And it wasn't just aesthetics. The design also had practical implications.
Interesting. All ears. Tell me more.
For example, many temples were built with intricate water management systems, a necessity in a region with distinct wet and dry seasons. These systems collected and stored rainwater, ensuring a constant supply for both religious rituals and the surrounding communities.
It's fascinating how they were able to blend artistry and functionality, drawing inspiration from the landscape to create structures that were both beautiful and practical. It makes you wonder, what would it have been like to live in a city like Vijayanagara, surrounded by those impressive walls and temples?
It would have been a sight to behold. Imagine a bustling metropolis, a center of trade and culture, protected by those grand fortifications, with towering temples reaching towards the sky.
Speaking of culture, I know the Deccan Plateau wasn't just a place of empires and grand structures. It was also a melting pot of different cultures and religions, right?
Yeah.
Didn't both Hinduism and Buddhism flourish in this region?
Yes. The Deccan Plateau became a meeting ground for diverse faiths and philosophies. And you guessed it, geography played a role in this as well. The region's relative isolation from the northern plains of India allowed for the development of distinct regional variations of Hinduism.
So are we talking about different interpretations of Hinduism specific to the Deccan?
Exactly. One example is the Virashaiva tradition, which emphasized personal devotion and social reform. It gained significant popularity in the Deccan, demonstrating how geographical factors could influence religious practices and beliefs.
That makes sense. So we've got Hinduism evolving in its own unique way on the Deccan Plateau. What about Buddhism? Did it also find a foothold in this region?
Buddhism spread to the Deccan Plateau relatively early on during the reign of Emperor Ashoka in the 3rd century BCE. We have archaeological evidence of Buddhist monasteries and stupas, those dome-shaped structures containing relics scattered across the region.
So for centuries, we've got these two major religions coexisting on the Deccan Plateau. Did they clash, or was there some level of exchange and influence between them?
It was more of a complex interplay than a straightforward clash. While there were periods of competition, there was also a significant degree of exchange and assimilation of ideas. For example, you can find Hindu temples that incorporate elements of Buddhist architecture and vice versa.
It's almost like a cultural conversation happening through art and architecture. That's pretty fascinating.
Right.
But even with all its advantages, all these empires we've been discussing eventually declined. What factors contributed to their downfall?
Like most empires throughout history, a combination of factors led to their decline. Internal conflicts, changing trade patterns, the rise of new powers. It's rarely ever just one thing.
So a reminder that even in a region as geographically blessed as the Deccan Plateau, empires are not immune to the forces of history. But even though these empires faded, their legacy lives on in the remarkable ruins and monuments they left behind.
Absolutely. The Deccan Plateau is a treasure trove of ancient wonders. From the majestic ruins of Vijayanagara to the breathtaking cave temples of Ajanta and Ellora, the region offers a tangible connection to a rich and complex past.
It makes you want to hop on a plane and experience it all firsthand, to walk among those ancient stones and feel the weight of history. But even though these events happened centuries ago, their story still has relevance for us today, right? I mean, why should we in the 21st century care about the rise and fall of empires on a plateau on the other side of the world?
That's a great question, and one worth exploring. I think, on one level, understanding the past helps us understand the present. The story of the Deccan Plateau reminds us that geography continues to shape our world, influencing everything from resource management and trade to political dynamics and social structures.
So it's not just about ancient history, it's about understanding the forces that continue to shape our world today. Are there any specific lessons we can draw from the Deccan Plateau's experience?
Certainly. For example, the Deccan's history highlights the importance of sustainable resource management, particularly water. The ingenious irrigation systems developed by those ancient empires offer valuable insights into water conservation and distribution, challenges we still grapple with today.
It's a reminder that sometimes the solutions to modern problems can be found by looking back at the wisdom of the past. But beyond the practical lessons, there's also the sheer wonder and beauty of it all, right?
Absolutely. Exploring the Deccan Plateau's history isn't just about learning facts and figures. It's about connecting with the human spirit, appreciating the creativity and resilience of those who came before us.
It's about recognizing that we are all part of a larger story, a story that stretches back through millennia, connecting us to those who built empires and temples, who farmed the land and created art, who lived and loved and left their mark on the world.
And for you, especially given your interest in architecture, I encourage you to explore the incredible architectural legacy of the Deccan. The temples, forts, and palaces are more than just structures. They're expressions of power, faith and artistic brilliance. Imagine stories etched in stone just waiting for you to uncover them.
So it's not just about kings and conquests. It's about the art, the culture, and the everyday lives of the people who called this land home.
Precisely. For example, the intricate carvings you'll find on temple walls, the elaborate water systems within forts, and even the humble remains of ancient settlements. They all offer a glimpse into the social and cultural fabric of the Deccan Plateau. They tell stories of skilled artisans, innovative engineers, and communities adapting to their environment.
It sounds like the kind of place that would reward a curious mind like yours, inviting you to look beyond the surface and uncover the hidden layers of meaning.
And as you delve deeper, you'll begin to see the connections between the past and the present, recognizing that the challenges and triumphs of those ancient civilizations resonate with our own experiences in surprising ways.
So we've seen how the Deccan Plateau's geography shaped its history, influencing the rise and fall of empires, the development of unique cultures, and the creation of awe-inspiring architecture. But I'm left with one final question. What happened to the Deccan Plateau after these empires faded? Did it simply become a forgotten relic of the past, or did it continue to evolve?
That's a great question. And it brings us to an important point. The Deccan Plateau didn't fade into obscurity. It continued to be a vibrant and influential region. It was absorbed into new empires, witnessed the rise of new dynasties, and experienced the ebb and flow of trade and cultural exchange. Its strategic location and resource wealth ensured that it remained a coveted prize for rulers throughout India's history.
So it wasn't a static endpoint. It was a transition, a new chapter in the ongoing story of the Deccan.
Precisely. And that's what makes history so captivating, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not just a series of events. It's a continuous flow, a tapestry woven with threads of continuity and change. And the Deccan Plateau, with its layered history and enduring legacy, offers a particularly rich and compelling perspective on that tapestry.
We started this deep dive with the image of a land sculpted by volcanoes, and it seems like that image perfectly captures the essence of the Deccan Plateau, a place forged by powerful forces, a land of dramatic contrasts and enduring resilience.
A land where the whispers of ancient civilizations echo through time, inviting us to listen, to learn, and to be inspired.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling inspired to learn even more about the Deccan Plateau. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We've seen how geography shaped empires, but now I'm curious, how do these empires in turn shape the landscape and leave their mark on the plateau? What can we learn from their successes and failures in managing resources and adapting to their environment? Keep exploring, stay curious, and until next time, happy deep diving.